Well, as I said several times, today is Palm Sunday, and it's the first day of Holy Week, leading us all the way up to Good Friday in Easter. During a coffee with the minister this week, I was asked why I haven't told any little funny stories as a part of the introduction that I often do in my sermons. Well, I answered that I'd left it out as part of Lent. That was one of the things I gave up for Lent, and it was an attempt to sort of give us a more of a serious kind of tone as we move through this 40-day journey and maybe give it a little more significance. It's also why we haven't been lighting the candles or lighting the cross during this time. But today is Hosanna Day, and Hosanna means save us, and it's Palm Sunday. So in light of that, I do have a story. I have just a quick one I'm going to share with you and hope after this great long intro that it's still funny. it's one I've shared before. It was Palm Sunday a few years ago, but because of a sore throat, and I'm feeling that a little today too, 5-year-old Johnny stayed home from church with a sitter. When the family returned home, they were carrying several palm fronds, and Johnny asked what they were for. People held them over Jesus' head as he walked by, his father told him. "Wouldn't you know it," Johnny said, "the one Sunday I don't go and he shows up." All right, we've chuckled. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, the day of Palm Sunday, the day beginning this whole journey this particular week, but also concluding our 40 days. Be in the words that I speak, Lord. Meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable before you and your people. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, most of us, I would say probably all of us here, know very well the events of that first Palm Sunday, Jesus' ride into Jerusalem on the donkey or the colt, depending which gospel you're reading, how the crowds honored him, how they took palm branches and went out to meet him, how they laid their cloaks on the road to honor him, and they shouted, "Hosanna," which, as I said, means save us, or please save us, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we all know very well that Jesus does this to fulfill a prophecy in Zechariah. And Zechariah 9:9 says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey." Jesus is the king who came to save. And again, we all know how Jesus is going to accomplish that. He came to Jerusalem not just to celebrate, but we know he came to die, and to die for all sinners, as we put that sort of phrase on it. And that includes you and me both. He came to carry our sins, our misdeeds, our stepping away from God's call in our lives to the cross. He came to place under God's wrath, take our place rather under God's wrath and punishment. He came to suffer our God-forsakenness instead of us and satisfy that divine justice for all of us. He came to save us. That's what Hosanna is all about. But the question we have today is, how do we respond to this in a proper way? And as we think about that question, responding in that proper way, responding in that God way, we need to ponder the words that Jesus speaks at the end of this text, and it's certainly around the title of this sermon. "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out," the stones would shout out. What is Jesus talking about here specifically, and how does this relate to our response? Well, there are some that think Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that was coming. In other words, when the people of Jerusalem stopped praising him, not one stone would be left on another. And in this way, the stones would cry out in judgment against their unbelief in Jesus' message and his life. Now, there's really nothing unbiblical about that particular explanation. From the Bible, we know that Jerusalem truly did reject the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, and went on beyond that, persecuting the apostles. And from history, we know that Jerusalem was indeed destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. The temple was taken down completely. And as I mentioned a week ago at least, that was Rome's way of erasing something. And they tried to erase the Jewish religion. But might there be a better explanation about these words? Well, consider the immediate context. The people have been praising Jesus honoring him and glorifying him. And those are the kinds of words that have been shouted out and cried out. So when Jesus talks about the stones crying out, he might mean the same kinds of words. That is, if the people don't praise him, the stones on the ground certainly will. For Jesus is going to be praised in this entry through the golden gate. Well, let's think about that for a minute. To whom did Jesus speak these words about the stones crying out? Who was he speaking to? He spoke them to the Pharisees. And what kind of people would the Pharisees consider to be stones? So he wasn't saying the Pharisees were, he was saying something to the Pharisees. Maybe we should think how these Pharisees looked down on people like tax collectors and prostitutes and other so-called bad sinners among their fellow Jews. They'd probably count them as stones. Even more so, think about how the Pharisees felt about the non-Jews, the Gentiles, in the droves that had probably gathered in Jerusalem for this, the Passover festival, selling things to the Jewish community. It was a time of partying and having a festival and celebrating and food. They were outside of God's people. They were as spiritually dead as stones. So Jesus maybe is making it clear to these Pharisees that if they refuse to praise him as the Savior King, others, whom the Pharisees themselves consider stone dead, might become living stones, crying out and shouting the Savior's praise. You know, if you think about it, this is a very similar to the language that John the Baptist used when he confronted the Pharisees himself. Do not think that you can save yourselves. We have Abraham as our father, they said. I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise children for Abraham. It's a conversation that takes place in Matthew chapter 3. And isn't that what the Lord has done for us? He took us outside of the Abrahamic covenant. We were Gentiles. That's what Gentile means. He took us who were living outside the covenant. We were dead in theory, in sin, stone dead. In our baptism and in our step forward in claiming our faith, he made us alive, spiritually alive. Through the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36. A living, beating heart that's spiritually alive. Through baptism, through our claiming our faith in Christ, we are reborn into God's family and have become one of his people. We're grafted directly into the line. We are now part of that new covenant through Christ. The Apostle Peter writes this, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. 1 Peter 2. So maybe we can hear Jesus' words about stones crying out and see ourselves as one of those stones. He rode into Jerusalem to make us all alive before God. And that's why he went to the cross. That's why he suffered and died. That's why he rose again from the dead on Easter to make stones like what you and I were once. Now alive, spiritually alive. One of the things for us to be considering, I believe, as well, through this particular time, this week. We're reading here about Jesus riding into Jerusalem. We're reading about people praising him and singing out and throwing their cloaks down, about becoming living stones. 6 days is all it is. 5 days. 6 days to Friday, but 5 days in total. It transitions very much. The people will not be silenced as Jesus rides in. And as we read beyond the section that we read today, Jesus went out to speak to them, and it says in Scripture, they hung on his very words. The Pharisees couldn't shut them up, couldn't make them disperse. They hung on every word that Jesus had to say. And on Friday, they hung him. Something happened in these 5 days. Something changed from Hosanna, save us, to crucify him, crucify him. One of the responses I want to challenge all of us with, myself included, is pick up from Luke chapter 19 and read the next 5 or 6 chapters this week. I want you to get into the very moments. We already know the end of the story. We've heard it countless times. But this week, read it day by day by day. It's outlined that way in Luke and Matthew. We can know what happened on the Sunday. We can know what happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. It changes dramatically. And if we live it that way and read it that way and experience it in the moment, I believe that we're going to see how we can possibly respond, how the disciples felt. If we respond like the Pharisees and remain quiet, refusing to praise Jesus, we will become dead stones again, in that sense, metaphorically speaking. Jesus will take his gospel away and just pass it on to others potentially. Jesus is going to be praised, if not by us, then by others. So what's our response? How do we shout out as we consider this journey and transition? How do we shout out as living stones? A few verses after the Apostle Paul called us living stones, he writes, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." That's Peter, pardon me. And that's what we are. We see people doing this on Sunday morning, or this Palm Sunday morning, isn't it? We are people called out of darkness. Listen to their words again recorded in Luke. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." How can we respond as we consider day by day this journey? How can we respond to Jesus today, Palm Sunday, with shout out of praise? You see, praise is much more than singing a few songs on Sunday morning. It's more than an act in itself. It's the way we live our lives. It's the way we live our lives. It's easy for us to be excited in the moment, but when life comes along sometimes it's not as easy. Events take place in our lives that cause us to struggle, and suddenly the praising stops. And really, in some ways, we might as well be a stone. We're silent. We struggle with those moments. How can we live our lives to shout out that Jesus is our King? That's the consideration through this week. That's the consideration in that bigger picture through Lent in particular. We want Jesus to be part of everything we do, every decision we make. But we don't always do that. We want the good times on Sunday morning or the Palm Sundays. We want to avoid Thursday night. There's so much to be taught and learned through the Holy Week itself. Every day has something unique to challenge us with. So when we're faced with choices in life, we ask ourselves, which choices clearly show that Jesus is more important to me than anyone or anything else? Because Jesus made a decision to walk to the cross, knowing what was coming. And there's little tip-offs, and we're going to talk about that as we do our Monday-Thursday service and our Friday morning service. Thursday night, one of the things that Jesus does is he washes the disciples' feet. He does that because he knows their dark time is coming. Their alone time is coming, and he wants them to remember that he loved them so much that he would do something a servant would do. He made a decision to express love even though he knew what was coming the next day. We need to make the same kinds of decisions in our lives. In Luke 19, the people shouted, "Peace in heaven." What good news. We were once ourselves outside of the covenant, enemies to God. We've been brought into the new covenant through Christ. He has given us this freely, given us his righteousness. We have peace in and through Christ. So extending that thought of how can I make decisions that reflect Jesus is the most important thing in my life. How can we reflect that same peace that Jesus brings? Also, as you read in Luke 19, just beyond verse 40, Jesus tells the people, wow, my paraphrase here, wow, what cost it's going to bring peace into this world. He knew what was coming. His life was going to be the cost to bring peace into this world. And since we now experience and are a part of that peace, we need to be making decisions that can reflect that in the decisions that we make in our daily lives. The last thing the people shouted in this quote from Luke 19 is glory in the highest, because all glory belongs to God. All glory belongs to God. That gift of new life, that gift of endless love, is freely given. It's given by God. All glory goes to Him. All we do in that sense in our lives is live for Him. Glory to God. We can shout with the stones. That's our theme today. Jesus came to Jerusalem to be praised, and He's going to be praised this day, but He came ultimately that He might die and conquer death. Folks, I can't emphasize anymore, and I've been saying this, I know, for weeks. I've been saying it for years. I've been saying it most of my Christian journey. The one thing that differentiates us from every other religion is this week. Jesus didn't just get hung on a cross and died. He would have been a martyr. Christmas time, we don't celebrate Christ's birth simply because the founder of our religion had a birthday. Lots of founders of religions and political institutions have birthdays, and people celebrate those. Jesus came to die and conquer death. He rose from the dead. That's the fundamental difference between us and all other religions. The fundamental that should separate us in that sense from all other philosophies on life. If Jesus didn't die, we're just another religion in a long line of religions. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we wouldn't be a religion at all, really. Jesus rose from the dead. We know that's coming on Sunday. And today we shout for praise as He enters the gate. Please, this week, read Luke 19 and to the end. Spend each day considering what's happening in the life of Jesus. Today, glorious day as He enters the city. Thursday, not so much. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. God has given us His only child, Jesus Christ, as the way of our salvation. Let us then give generously as God has given to us. Let us present our tithes and offerings before God.